It's December. We are in Greifswald at the southwestern end of the Baltic Sea region, and we start a new podcast series with this first episode. In April 2019, the Interdisciplinary Research Center for Baltic Sea Region Research, or in short, IFTSO, started working. This podcast will introduce or present the research topics and the research questions and debates that we are going to have here in the center in the coming years. Two researchers are here today, Professor Michael North, speaker of the center. A warm welcome, Professor North.
Hello.
And myself, Alexander Dross, the coordinator of the center. Professor North, why an interdisciplinary center for Baltic Sea region research, and what is planned for the next years to come?
Many things are planned, but we have first to institutionalize and consolidate ongoing research or research which has started already 20 years ago. We have in our university a framework, a research framework, which deals with interaction, cultural interaction in the Baltic Sea area. And this is a central research framework within our university. And this was fed and fostered by various extramural funding research projects, for example, in PhD education. And now we want to institutionalize all these initiatives in the humanities, in the social sciences, in geography and other areas. Ecology plays a role as well. And in this respect, we are grateful to the Ministry of Education and Research, the central ministry in Germany, who gave start-up money, so-called seed money, to work out a research plan, a new research framework, which will institutionalize Baltic Sea region research in Greifswald.
You already mentioned cultural exchange as one of the historical research topics that we had. The research history then continued with these borderlands topics. And currently we are focusing on the issue of change in various fields within the societies of the Baltic Sea region. What is it that the researchers in the center will focus on during the next 5 years? What is the concrete
question? We still have to remember ourselves with respect to the legacy of the Baltic Sea region. The Baltic has always been a region of exchange and encounter. It has been populated by various language communities, the Germans, the Slavs, the Balts, the Finns, living in close proximity. And those language communities did develop only during the early modern period or only in the 20th century into states, into nation states. And now we are facing the situation that after 89, after the fall of the Berlin Wall, the reunification of Germany, the independence of the Baltic states, various national antagonisms more or less clash with the wish to be integrated into Europe. So we have the EU enlargement, but we have at the same time national delimitation, national antagonism in the region. And these phenomena deserve closer examination.
Cultural diversity on the one side and integration on the other side seems to be a main characteristic in the Baltic Sea region. Does this also mean that we have common ideas and common practices to solve problems within the region?
That's a good question. Let me remind you again to the history. The manifold forms and processes of economic, cultural, and political interaction are at the center of the history and of the presence of the Baltic Sea region. And this history extends from the Viking Age up to the Baltic Sea strategy of the EU of the 2009 and the follow-up. And this region is currently one of the most dynamic in the world. And this can only be examined, analyzed by various disciplines.
So when we talk about economic development and wealth distribution within the region, also other pressing issues of the region come to mind. And at the moment, one of the most pressing issues is the security and the energy, as well as the digitization problem. How do we deal with that within the region?
Yes, and of course, the environment. I think the most crucial, yes, problem issue is, of course, environment. And the states in the Baltic Sea region have already started to think about this in the 1970s with the so-called HELCOM, the Helsinki Committee Agreement. But this is, of course, not enough. And we have, of course, this huge nitrate input influx into the Baltic Sea region. And the peasants, or the farmers, are still not willing to reduce their nitrates. And so we have to, or the Baltic Sea region has to convince people and to make the environmental question aware to the public and, of course, those people polluting still the area. And digitization is, of course, an issue which is perhaps not as crucial, although we recently learned that universities could be subject to hacker initiatives or hacker assaults like the University of Gießen, and we won't, or we hope to try and escape this fate, for example. On the other hand, it's of course different digitization and media cultures which play an important role. My Estonian friends are not as reluctant as the Germans with respect to data management, with respect to giving their personal data to the state, for example. Another issue would, of course, be the wealth distribution. People are always struggling with wealth distribution. They are debating the clash between the rich and the poor in Germany. But on a European level or on a Baltic Sea level, those clashes, differences are, of course, much greater, for example. And how the various countries cope with this problem is, of course, a question of the future development.
You already mentioned that trust is something that is quite important, particularly when it comes to provide digital services for the public, and that we have different attitudes in different countries towards the problem. There is another issue with mistrust, particularly when it comes to diplomatic relationships within the region. So how does this actually is reflected in the research agenda of the center?
Power struggles are still perhaps a problem, or at least research problem. Thanks to the EU integration and the NATO enlargement, we were convinced that Europe would expand to the east, but peacefully at the same time integrate those non-EU and non-NATO members. But the assault on Crimea, for example, the Russian assault, has taught lessons. And in this respect, we have, of course, to examine the various factors of security that pose a question in the area. However, I would always say education, school systems, and awareness for various problems is even more important issue.
Is Russia still a partner within the region, considering the problems that the Baltic states or Poland have with Russia?
Of course, it belongs to the Baltic Sea region, and it's still a partner, and negotiations should go on, although I'm not very much convinced that the North stream energy supply pipeline is helpful in this respect. And unlike other colleagues, people, I would not see a so-called energy dependency, but the environmental issues with this pipeline are probably totally ignored.
When the center was founded and the ministry announced the financial support, they deliberately said that they want to found a center that has a research focus from the humanities and social sciences. Why is that?
Although people are researching environmental issues, which are natural scientists, for example, many questions in the area, for example, this problem of environment and nitrate influx, can only be solved or at least discussed if you include the humanities, the social sciences, because it's no use only to acknowledge that we have nitrate influx and that nitrate influx is increasing if you can't get hold of the roots, which is, of course, the behavior of the farmers and the peasants who still use or overuse nitrates for their fields. And this mentality, perhaps it can't be solved, but it can be understood if you have the deeper knowledge in agrarian production, mass production in the area.
And again, in these kind of contexts also, I'm interested in the role of narratives and rhetoric when it comes to the dissemination of certain facts and knowledge. So how does these rhetoric strategies to disseminate specific opinions or directives and practice have an impact actually and are part of the research?
Talking about the Baltic region is, of course, an important issue, and the reception of the Baltic Sea region is, of course, more or less produced, at least inspired by narratives of the Baltic region. And when I was writing my Baltic Sea history, then I had to cope with these different narratives, because until then, the Baltic region was mostly understood as a region of warfare, of quarrels, of power struggles. And then I said, okay, that's one issue, but of course the region is a region of cultural exchanges, it's a region of trade and cultures shaped by the Hanseatic League, for example. So it's many stories which are involved, and it's many pictures how we construct this Baltic Sea area. And in this respect, the narrative plays an important role.
Yeah, as we can see, there is not the one Baltic Sea region, depending a little bit on the perspective that we go. But nevertheless, there's only one center. Where is this center located within the center structure in Germany?
If you think about our center for Baltic Sea region research, then it's, of course, centered in the center of the Baltic Sea region, which is, of course, Greifswald. But we have, of course, other research centers, and we have, for example, the center in Warnemünde on sea environmental issues, but we have the cultural history centers, the so-called GWZO, the Center for Central European Cultural History. We have, of course, the German Institute in Warsaw for historians. So it's many institutes, and we have, of course, the universities, and probably centers are okay, but without universities, those centers would not work. And that is why our issue is collaborating with the universities in the Baltic Sea area.
Yeah, looking further beyond that border and into the region, then we actually see that many of these centers for Baltic Sea region research disappeared. So Turku had a focus on that and it was not reestablished. The center in Södertörn is more looking into Eastern Europe and Russia in these days. And even Tartu stopped the master program on the Baltic Sea region. So are we keeping up the flag of Baltic Sea region studies, or what
so
are we doing?
So far we are holding the flag, and because it's crucial for Greifswald and Greifswald University as well, but it's crucial for the area at the other side. And so we are trying to institutionalize research, and this is probably the major issue. We have been keeping up this research with various extramural funding projects, which I mentioned at the beginning, but produce a kind of continuity, produce a center of knowledge exchanges where, for example, politicians, the public, but academia as well, could ask questions, could get expertise for political decision making. In this respect, we are unique, and I hope we have to be unique.
Yes, and you already mentioned that actually also, to a certain degree, the facts or data produced by the natural sciences are somehow distributed through the lens or through the channels and narratives of the humanities and the social sciences. It is very interesting that actually also the natural sciences are now interested actually in collaborating in the program, because these ideas and concepts which we apply are also important for them to actually work with their data. Let us go into the structure of the center and introduce very briefly the key areas. We have considered six research clusters in the Interdisciplinary Research Center for Baltic Sea Region Research, and maybe we can give a quick overview of the clusters. One cluster focuses on security issues and international relations. What research perspectives can we expect in this cluster?
We already addressed this question a little bit when we spoke about Russia. Security issues are in the center of this cluster. Military conflicts and academic exchange sometimes clash, sometimes they foster international relations. And we have to consider or to reconsider the role of hard military security issues, but take into consideration as well soft security aspects of states, but of non-state actors as well. For example, those NGOs which founded the Baltic Sea region with respect to the EU agenda of the Baltic Sea area. There was stakeholders, NGOs, which had quite a considerable influence in the design of the Baltic Sea region agenda of the EU.
Another cluster concentrates on researching the phenomenon of new nationalism. What topics are included in this cluster?
After EU enlargement, we now witness a wave of new nationalism and populism, I may add as well, in politics in Poland, in the Baltic states, but of course all over the world. And in this respect, questions have to be addressed, but we have also to ask ourselves how we deal with populist movements. How could we counterbalance in education those origins of nationalism? How would we frame nationalism? Would we put nationalism back to the 19th century, or would we take nationalism seriously right now?
Sustainability is another important topic and cluster in the center. Why was this chosen as a focus?
As I told you before, the environment is a crucial question in the Baltic Sea region, and the environment has driven cooperation in the Baltic Sea region. So climate change, environmental protections are the major concerns of people in the Baltic Sea area. So if you ask people about the Baltic Sea area, then they would look actually to the sea, and the agency of the sea plays a role. And if the sea is polluted, the agency of the sea is limited or driven into a special direction. So sustainability is a crucial question, and we have to ask how new technologies, how new behavior, for example, resigning from meat consumption, limiting meat consumption, limiting cars and limiting individual traffic, all those issues, limiting the cruise ships in the Baltic Sea region would, for example, foster a sustainable development.
This is actually also, or this cluster also has an overlap with the neighboring cluster on regional development and rural areas. So what can we expect here in difference to these sustainability questions?
On the one hand, sustainability looks quite good in depopulated rural areas. But on the other hand, those areas are not as depopulated as sometimes people wanted to know or were sure about. On the other hand, depopulation in rural areas provides a lot of challenges, which perhaps could be solved in cross-border actions, like, for example, what Greifswald offers right now, medical services via so-called telemedical treatments between Poland and the eastern parts of Pomerania and the rural areas in general.
Historians, literary scholars, but also lawyers collaborate in the cluster on the topicality of cultural heritage. What's their research focus?
Cultural heritage is to some extent an umbrella theme of the Center of Baltic Sea Region Research because it encompasses more or less all areas and other problems, because the perception of energy problems, of depopulation, of environmental issues is to large extent stimulated, driven by the cultural heritage, which involves, for example, stereotypes, mental cultural stereotypes, for example. That's one issue. The other issue is, of course, the buildings, the landscapes, which are still there, which remind us to some extent, but which pose problems, of course, in the economic use of the area, the everyday economic use, for example.
You already mentioned the Nord Stream pipeline, which ends in Lubmin, close to Greifswald. We also had a nuclear power plant there. We have a nuclear fusion reactor in Greifswald. So probably it's not a surprise that we also have a cluster on energy research, and particularly researching the change to renewable energies. What is their main focus?
After 89 or in the 1990s, the energy system, energy provision in the Baltic Sea changed dramatically. The Soviet Union did no longer supply energy, or only to a limited degree, to the Baltic states or to Poland. On the other hand, the successor, Russia, is earning awful lots of money selling energy to the West, for example. And this problem, energy dependency, energy policy, energy accessibility, is one of the crucial problems which has been discussed for the last 10, 15 years. And in this respect, various interests clash or converge: security issues, political issues, environmental issues, and of course mental issues, and of course all old stereotypes are more or less reused in this discussion. So we have to try, or those guys working on energy have to try, to delimit the various notions with respect energy supply and put it together, frame it differently, and get, for example, energy together with environmental issues, discuss it with sustainability and the rural development.
Six cluster, one center at the University of Greifswald, southwestern end of the Baltic Sea region. This is the end of this podcast episode today. My name is Alexander Drost, and I discussed with Professor Michael North the scope of the Interdisciplinary Research Center for Baltic Sea Region Research. Thank you very much, Professor North.
My pleasure.
You will find further information on our website, which you access through the university's webpage. And you may also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so that you will not miss any of these podcast episodes. The podcast will be continued with episodes from each cluster of the center. Thank you very much, and goodbye.